Hey everybody, welcome to the Thursday night 120 minutes of I'm already kind of drunk. You know who else is drunk? Is Hot Stuff.
I am.
You're not really drunk.
I'm not really drunk.
The problem is, Hot Stuff and I always go out for margaritas before these Thursday shows.
Margaritas.
And what happened tonight was that I had a margarita, Hot Stuff had a margarita, and then when it was time to order more margaritas, we both ordered more margaritas, but then Hot Stuff decided that his penis wasn't big enough to contain all of the man juice that was contained in the second margarita, so he poured like 3/4 of it into my glass.
So now you're
that
the
is not even vaguely true.
That's
you took like maybe a third of my margarita because it was already half done, and you took some of it.
So let's do the math here: half plus some, 3/4.
Wow, you're terrible at math.
No, I'm good at math. I'm just bad at drinking. Riff is not drunk. What
I
are you
am
up
not
to, Riff?
Drunk.
How you been?
I've been pretty good.
You feeling okay tonight? Are you feeling like you're going to be able to keep up with me and Hot Stuff in terms of our
alcohol fuel
consumption?
Are you angry about anything, Riff? Because I'm angry about some stuff.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. No, not really.
Yeah, you're.
I think I'm angry about the same shit.
It's hard to be angry when you get a box of beautiful jewels out of the advent calendar.
I did get a box of beautiful jewels out of the advent calendar that you bought for me, Riff, because you're a sweetheart and a good friend.
Aw, shucks.
Riff got me the Lego Castle Advent Calendar.
I've been having fun doing the little daily story update. On the blog.
Have you been? You couldn't really do anything with your chest other than build it the way that it was meant to be built, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure what I'm going to do for the update today because of that.
Hmm.
But I guess I'll think of something.
What did you manage to do with the queen?
I made a little joke about how she's got her hand stuck up a frog.
Okay.
And also about how her throne isn't very useful because her legs don't bend.
Oh, yeah. She has to stand on her throne?
Yeah.
She kind of has to stand on the edge of it. She's balanced by her train.
Queen on a train. I don't know. Just kind of funny. An idea.
You had an idea for a joke, woo-woo! But it wasn't a full-fledged joke.
No.
So you just had a grin on your face.
I did.
Like you were going to make a joke, but you didn't actually make a joke.
No.
Yeah. Hot Stuff's heading for Dark Country tomorrow. He's going to Dark City.
I am.
Darkville.
Kiefer Sutherland is going to inject some shit into his spinal brains.
It's awesome. I've been like checking the weather there, and it's like remarkably consistent. It's like, you know, 30 degrees Fahrenheit or so, whatever. But they also have like the little sun or moon, depending on whether it's day or night, and it's just always night.
It's the land of eternal darkness. Watch out for vampires.
4.5 hours of sunlight.
Are you gonna have a let the right one in vampire?
Like a
little boy?
No.
That
no?
Scully argues is a little girl, and that it's irrelevant. Scully arguing that the character's gender is irrelevant. Are you gonna do that? Are you gonna do that thing where Josh argues with me about whether it's important that that's a boy?
No.
Or not?
No, I'm not gonna do that. No. Also, yeah. But 4.5 hours of sunlight.
Yeah, that's gonna suck.
It's gonna be awesome. Yeah.
The lady that's accompanying you, I said Hot Stuff gets a little bit of that old seasonal affective disorder. I think he's gonna be a depressive wreck. And she said, "Oh, I'm bringing a lot of Wellbutrin." And I said, "I thought Wellbutrin didn't really kick in until you'd been taking it for a month or so." And she was like, "Oh, not if you take enough of it." So, I'm thinking you might if she hands you a special beverage, she's like, "Here, have a special hot chocolate that will put you in a better mood." Maybe there are, like, 8 Wellbutrins dissolved in it.
Hmm. The forecast is, which has been changing just, like, every day, is now for a lot of overcastness, which would make me sad. Because the one thing that I would love to see while I am there is the Northern Lights.
Right.
Which I just, you know, it is such a crapshoot. So, we'll see.
One of these days, we'll fund a company trip to Alaska, where we'll just sit and stare at the sky until there are Northern Lights.
Huh. That'd be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I have two things I want to see. On my what later came to be called in popular culture bucket list. Two things I want to see before I die: Northern Lights and Earth from Space. I want to see the entire Earth.
What about Northern Lights from Space?
Those are good.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Can you see the Northern Lights?
I think
space?
I can definitely pull off Northern Lights. I don't know about Earth from Space. I don't know. I don't know if it is going to be like affordable enough in my lifetime, or if I will,
you could
if I will,
trade a house.
I'm so
for
fucking
one
freaked
eventually.
Out. I'm so freaked out about flying that I would probably just like literally just die of anxiety if I were in a goddamn spaceship.
I think it would be the opposite, though. I think once you got out of the atmosphere, you'd be like, ah, this is such a smooth ride.
Yeah, nothing's going wrong now, except, Jesus Christ, micrometeorites, fucking hull breach, just anything. Yeah, because no, astronauts never are in any kind of trouble.
That doesn't... How many space shuttles have been breached by micrometeorites?
Like, what, like one out of every 15? Like, one out of every 15 space shuttles has been a disaster that killed everyone on board?
I don't think that's true.
I think that that's true.
I mean, there's only 5 space shuttles, so that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, maybe having to figure out how the toilet works will take your
mind. I don't think it's that. There have been hundreds of missions.
Oh, crap, I'd have to poop in space.
There have only been 2 total disasters, and there have been hundreds of missions, so that's...
I don't think there have been hundreds of missions. There have not been hundreds of space shuttle launches.
They have, like, they're in the triple digits.
No, they're not.
Yeah, it's like you're 150. Like they're,
yo,
they're,
wait, are you including the Russians?
No, I'm talking about.
Fuck that.
They're talking
about tell
NASA
us about their accidents and the Chinese space program. Don't even get me started. They just literally load dudes into catapults and fly into space. Like 100% of their manned space missions result in a dude being shot out of a catapult and suffocating in the vacuum of space.
Why does it always have to be dudes?
Because the women won't volunteer for that retarded shit. They know.
Is
the
it because
score.
They're smarter?
Yes, it's because they're smarter and because they know the score.
I thought we couldn't get to Mars until we had enough gay astronauts.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, because they'll just fuck all of each other. It'll just be like a gay astronaut fuck fest the whole time, and no jealousy.
Well, and no offspring. That was the problem.
Oh, they were worried about somebody getting pregnant.
Yes.
Well, if they just had a special compartment filled with RU486, there was a module, the abortion.
Why, yes, I am 486.
The abortion module of
abortion
the ship,
module.
Yeah. Yeah. Note that this will not be a Catholic spacecraft.
The Pope is right out.
I would never approve. Hey, the Pope was all like, it's okay to wear a condom so you don't give a bitch AIDS.
Yeah, but like that was still only for
sort
like Africa. It was like not
AIDS.
At all.
Yeah, well, GAIDS? Only Africans have AIDS.
GAIDS?
And San Francisco. It also applied to San Francisco, but there are no Catholics in San Francisco. Sorry. It's the truth. Don't come to me like I've got some sort of liberal agenda.
That's true. You have no agenda.
No, I don't.
Which makes our weekly phone conferences really, like...
They're really chaotic. They're kind of all over the place. You know, it's funny you say that, but they really are.
Yeah, they really are.
Like, we were talking about Crimbo and database stuff, kind of just interchangeably depending on what I thought of.
And also,
second
like...
Second to second.
A lot of poop, usually. There's a lot of poop. In the conference calls.
I don't think I talk about poop in conference calls.
I don't know
Do
about
I?
That. We talk about...
I know I can't stop talking about poop in
shopping
general.
Centers and babies a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of... Like, a lot of the people in the conference calls have kids
yeah.
who frequently just
scream at
yeah.
the top of their lungs.
Scream into, them, into the mics. Hey, Riff.
Yeah?
Don't have any kids, okay?
Okay.
All right. Sweet.
Are you going to...
Nice.
That's at least 20%
nice.
Of the conference
Now
call
I've been ordered to not have kids.
Like,
I can tell my dad, sorry, Dad.
Can't have kids
no,
for work.
No grandchildren. It's been insisted that for work reasons I not have kids.
Is your dad putting pressure on you to have grandkids?
Almost every time
tell
I
him,
talk to him, he's like, so, we got any grandchildren yet?
Tell him you're a gay astronaut. We could probably pot riff down just a little bit.
Okay. You always get more enthusiastic once the show actually starts. It's impossible to sound check.
It is. It's a little weird. Also, the microphone moves around
by saying that his video games are terrible.
What?
Yeah, but see, like that.
Yeah, that was twice as loud as your reaction when I said it the first time. That's probably not true. I don't know. It's decibels.
Well, decibels
are
on logarithms.
Yeah. So it's a
fuck,
man.
Stop it.
What the fuck, man? It's bad enough that I got that going on with Josh. When Play Havoc asked what the point of KOL was, I said the point of KOL was to make it around the Golden Horn, which is exactly what Scully was about to say.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, which is weird. Because it's just like some random, like...
I don't even understand.
I don't. Yeah, that's
no,
not weird.
No, exactly. Because it is an in-joke from, like, a They Might Be Giants bootleg that one of Doc Galactic's friends gave me a copy of when I was in high school. And that I gave Scully a copy of. And it's just, there's this thing in between two songs where like, either Linnell or Flansburg, I can't remember from recognizing the voice when I was younger, says, some people ask us, they might be giants, where are you going with your music? And the answer? Around the Golden Horn! So that's not just the point of anything, right? The point of KOL is to make... Like, 10 years ago, we suddenly both decided to make the same joke. And I believe him. I believe him when he freaks out when he hears me make that joke, because that's the joke that he was about to
make.
You're
a little quieter now.
I am, because I move my shit.
Yeah, you're way louder.
I was gesticulating. I was gesticulating wildly, and I knocked my mic off my head.
Yeah, we need. While I appreciate the headset microphones, I think we should just get
real mics.
Mic stands.
Yep. I've been using one at home, and it's just totally not a big deal.
Yeah, that's what I was advocating for, like, a million years ago.
I know you were, but what was I?
This is a, and I told you so moment. Although, you know, honestly, if these things were wireless and, like, a little bit better constructed, I think they'd probably
be fine. Yeah, if they were, like, what's weird is that these are not cheap microphones.
No.
Like, they're decent microphones, but the fucking thing that keeps them on your head is the worst, most uncomfortable piece of shit
ever.
That's
pretty awful.
I don't understand what sort of head these are designed to go on. It's possible that you're just not supposed to be wearing glasses when you wear them. And
we
all wear
glasses.
That's
possible.
Because we're all nerds.
My glasses are so inconsequential, though. Like, mine don't move because I put then a giant set of headphones over them,
sure.
So that helps a little bit.
And you also don't flip out a lot. You don't wave your hands around to
gesticulate.
Articulate the points you're making about how bullshit Mario Party is.
No, that's because I'm usually standing akimbo in the corner.
Yeah. Facing the corner so that the Blair Witch can punish you next.
Yeah. That was pretty creepy.
Did you ever see Blair Witch 2?
I did, actually.
Was it terrible? Were there boobs? Weren't there a lot of boobs in it?
I don't remember if there were boobs, but one of the actresses in it was extremely cute. I remember being
Was she all gothy?
No, she was just cute.
I thought there were gothy boobs.
She was like... She seemed smart, which is always like a turn-on to me.
I remember how upset you were
that
the
so
Suicide
pissed.
Girls were dumb.
Yeah, I was really pissed.
That was really... I mean, I had a kind of an I told you so moment there. Cause, well, not an I told you so, because I never told you the Suicide Girls were dumb, but like it was astonishing to me that you would be surprised or upset that these girls from porn.
But the shtick is that they're interesting, right? The shtick is that they're like
I
they're
think
attractive
the
girls
that
are supposed to be interesting.
Instead of personalities, they have a bunch of piercings.
Well, sure. I mean, to
right,
someone who is like knows what's going on.
But,
like
count.
I was young and naive.
This was like the year before yesterday.
the pretentious artist just put a post-it note on my leg as he was leaving, which says, "Have a great / safe sex trip."
Are you going on a sex trip?
Apparently.
Are you past that phase where you're just constantly having sex on the trip?
No.
Iceland? Are you just going to fuck every hole that Iceland has?
I mean, they've got a lot of holes. There's a lot of like geysers and stuff. The whole country is like powered by geothermal fuck holes.
Geothermal fuck holes. You really ran with that. I wasn't expecting that. boy, I'm having a hard time not coughing.
Cause you're sick as a dog.
I'm not sick as a dog. I'm like
dogs don't get sick.
I'm sick as though there was like a miniature puppy in my ear, right? Like it's
a miniature puppy in your ear.
Yeah, that's just hanging out. Like he's hanging out, like making it so. I woke up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, this is an awful story.
This was an awful. But
okay,
the way that I chose
spoiler
to describe
warning,
it is awful.
If you're eating, just pause.
Yeah.
Or like turn the radio down or
so
whatever.
So I got pretty drunk.
I got pretty drunk.
Then I went to sleep laying on my back, and then I woke up like 2 or 3 hours later, and it felt like my entire head was just filled with scabs.
Yeah, that's such a gross image.
It felt as though like the entirety of the interior of my sinuses was just scabbed over, and there was a desert wind blowing inside it.
Strike breakers?
Yes. Yeah, there were strike breakers. Like the people normally drying out my nose had gone on strike because I bribed them with, I don't know, cold medicine and a humidifier. I hadn't been using a humidifier. I need to start using a humidifier. It was a mess. Okay, because I pass out.
Can you get a private humidifier, like so that
it just sprays it into my nose?
Well, no. So that so you don't bother like other people that you might be sleeping in the same room with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would sleep with somebody who would really piss and moan about a humidifier that much. Wait, I would, but then later on I would not anymore. Bitch.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, it would be also more beneficial if you, like, I don't know, put a plastic bag
over
your
head. The best time that I have with a humidifier is when I, like, sit in a chair with a towel draped over my head.
Oh,
with
the humidifier
underneath the towel. Like, it's super helpful. Because it's like a steam bath.
It is.
Like a Vicks Vapor Rubby steam bath.
How come you have not, like, built some kind of, like, sauna? Because I feel like that's something that you would just go and sit in a lot.
I probably would, yeah. A steam room. I would really like to have a steam room.
Well, I guess I think of those two things as interchangeable, but I guess they are not. I don't know. Saunas are just hot.
Yeah, saunas are made of wood, and steam rooms are in a massage parlor.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Huh.
Steam rooms are like a shower. Like a
the steam rooms are like have a, happy endings?
Like a sealed shower.
Okay.
Saunas do not have steam vents.
What are the things that have the hot rocks that you pour water
sauna.
Over?
That's a sauna.
But those are sometimes wooden.
But there's just like a sauna is just like a stove inside a mostly sealed wooden building.
Why does that have to be wooden?
I don't know. It just is.
But can't a steam can't you have a
you make steam by pouring water on the rocks?
Right, but those I have seen those inside wooden structures before.
Okay,
in the
fine.
Movies.
So
least.
I've been in a sauna that a guy built. There was this guy that I knew who made his own absinthe.
Yeah.
And he built a sauna, and then he
to
decided,
collect the sweat to make the absinthe out of.
No. Yeah. No. I don't think he made it out of sweat. I think he made it out of wormwood. He was a guy. I don't know if he even graduated from high school. I know that he didn't go to college. He must have graduated from high school. He never got a driver's license. He was like 30 when I knew him when I was like 23, and he had not ever gotten a driver's license.
Huh.
But he was just like he was super cool, super smart, and he would just get into something. He was like crazy stoner. Like he was like stoned all the time, but he would get into something, buy a bunch of books. I think that like his dad had died and he was independently wealthy.
I see.
He didn't have to work. He didn't really have to do anything other than, you know, just like... His dad, he had all these pictures of his dad and Timothy Leary. Like his dad and Timothy Leary were buddies.
Interesting.
And he had all these books that were like signed to him by Timothy Leary and stuff. And he was just real into drugs. And I think he got into absinthe entirely because like, oh, absinthe makes you hallucinate, right? Like buying into that bullshit. But he also like, I'm going to learn to build a sauna. And then he just bought all the stuff and built a sauna and we would hang out in his sauna. And then he decided, all right, I'm going to move to California and build a self-sufficient commune like off the grid. And he got a bunch of people together to move with him. He bought some land. He bought the materials to just like build stuff by hand. And then everybody else left.
Wow.
Like
really?
Everybody else gave up on the project, and he was just out there, like 200 miles from nowhere with no car,
shit.
And apparently is doing fine. Like apparently,
I feel like I know people that would go and join him.
Apparently, this was a long time ago that it theoretically fell apart.
There were a significant number of my friends in high school that was sort of their goal. If anybody ever got enough money to put something together like that, that they wanted to buy property and like have like a little sort of commune kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I mean, I've just never known anybody that actually. Match, do
yeah,
it.
This guy actually pulled it off. I mean,
wow,
and
that's awesome.
And I'm pretty sure that he actually still lives there.
Huh. That's cool. I have great respect for people that manage to do, especially if they can make it sustainable, where they don't need anything from.
Yeah,
an
that I don't know. I don't know that California is exactly the right place to do that because I feel like places in California where the land is cheap they're kind of deserty.
Sure. Sure. There was a...
Like, I don't know about... I feel like it is tricky to build an off-the-grid self-sufficiency kind of thing in a place where you can't dig a well. Right? Because that is a kind of a fundamental thing about
you can
being able
water
to, like,
from
sort of build, build society with hand tools.
You can collect water from the air, well. Though. Right?
Like, evaporate. But what you need is a protocol that speaks the binary language of moisture evaporators.
You do.
Yeah.
There was a. Do you know who Danila Meadow is?
No.
So she was a.
Blue Milk.
What?
Nothing.
she was associated with Dartmouth. I don't know if she was a professor there or not.
Did she write Basic?
No.
That's the only thing I know about Dartmouth.
Oh, they wrote Basic.
That's where Basic was written.
Oh, okay. She had a syndicated column for a long time that was like put together in a book called The Global Citizen, which was really interesting. Like she would. Write all these articles about like sort of some sort of problem facing the world, you know, usually environmental in nature, and what you could do as a citizen to like help. Basically, it was always very positive. But she was living on a farm that was attempting to be sustainable, and they would like.
How'd it go?
It was, you know, making progress. It was like it was a challenge, but you know, but it was up in the Northeast, so that's I think potentially an easier climb than. A desert to do that. Although abundant solar power is kind of nice, so who knows, you know? There's probably gives and takes for each sort of climate.
Yeah, that's the thing. There is abundant solar power. Like, I feel like 10 years ago, it was a lot trickier.
Sure.
Right? I feel like it has gotten orders of magnitude cheaper.
You didn't make your own solar panel, so, like, at what point do you become sustainable? Like, can you, if a solar panel breaks, are you screwed? Could you make something to replace it? Like,
well, so my thinking is that if you can raise enough beef that you can sell the milk for enough money to get solar panels, that still counts as solar.
Sure,
it's not about not having anyone else's labor.
It depends on what your goal
labor.
Is.
It's about not having to like have a job and you know.
Sure.
Just be a part of the like rat. I think it is way more an eschewing of the rat race than it is an eschewing of like the company of other men.
Because you're not a K astronaut.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm curious as to I think about that and I think, you know, it's appealing to think about. For the same reason like backpacking is appealing to me. The entire reason that backpacking is appealing to me is like, A, you get to see some pretty stuff that you would never be able to see if you were just driving in a car or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Like some moments of just really kind of transcendent beauty in nature that honestly make it worth it, because it's kind of fucking terrible. All the walking is kind of fucking terrible.
Really?
I'm so bad at it, is the thing. Like, the hikes, I need to be in better shape. But what I like is the notion that, like, all right, I've got this shit on my back, and this is all I need to survive for a few days, right? And it's just got this, like, kind of like, all right, if there was a nuclear apocalypse, I'd probably be fine. As long as I had this backpack full of food.
Yeah. I'm
some rad away.
Yeah. I still kind of want to, as my next major hiking trip, I kind of still want to go around the base of Mount Rainier.
Yeah, I'm worried about that hike.
Hot Stuff
is proposing a hike that is like 93 miles,
yeah,
which is three times as long as any backpacking trip we've done
so far.
So far.
Well, I mean, how fast do you intend to do it?
You do it ten days. Yeah, you do like 10 miles a day.
Which it's a lot of up and down.
A lot of up and down. Yeah. A lot of elevate. Like there's five times as much elevation gain as the trip with the most elevation gain that we've done.
Yeah.
Which is the hard part. It is not at altitude.
No.
Which is good.
Yeah.
There are food drop-off points, which,
yep.
Does that mean that there is, like, civilization along the trail?
No.
It doesn't?
It does not.
There wouldn't be, like, a toilet?
Oh, there might be toilets at the designated campsites as possible.
Like, if there was a real toilet every 3 days, then I'd be a lot more...
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look more in detail.
You just hold off pooping for every 3 days?
Yeah. I can't do it for 5 days, because then I get sick. It gets really unpleasant. I can't eat, and I run out of energy. Yeah. 3 days is okay.
You know, I thought that pooping into a hole would be kind of gross and annoying, but it's not that bad. Ooh. You know.
Yeah, it seems like the worst part would just be wiping.
Yep.
You gotta have some actual toilet paper.
You carry toilet paper with you.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with leaves. That would
be horrible. You just wipe your ass with poison ivy.
Yeah.
What could go wrong? Yeah, no, I'm excited about the idea of this Rainier trip, but the problem is I would need to really train. I would need to hike up hills with weight, like every day or three times a week or four times a week, to get ready for it. And we're going to be in fucking San Diego for the month.
There are hills outside San Diego.
Yeah, but to have to drive somewhere that's far away and. Like, yeah, it's just,
you could do,
it's
you
not
could do
going to happen. We're not
basic,
in the,
you could
in
do
the,
basic
in
conditioning
weeks leading
in
up
early,
to Comic-Con,
could do,
we are not going to train for a hike.
You could
trip.
Do basic conditioning, just cardiovascular stuff in early July, and then, you know, if we decide to do the hike, let's say third week of August, you could then, once you get back to Arizona, do, like, some actual training in Arizona.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just afraid that I would die. I'm afraid that the hike would kill me.
I don't think it
I'm
would
not
kill
afraid
you.
That it would kill me. I don't think that it would kill me, and I don't think that I wouldn't make it. I think that I would slow everybody else down, and then I would feel like a failure. Because
I feel like
a failure from this Colorado trip that we just did, because everybody was waiting for me. We got stuck in the rain and had a miserable night that one night because everyone had been waiting for me, and if we hadn't had to spend the extra hour that it took me to get up the fucking rise... we wouldn't have gotten caught in the rain like that. Granted, there was no... Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
There was no way to avoid that. But nevertheless, it was true.
You were also being
it
really stubborn
true.
about redistribution of weight, which, like, I feel like you understand intellectually is the right thing to do, but you have a hard time actually doing it.
No, I get that you're supposed to. I get that the weaker members are supposed to give
it's
weight
not, but
to
it's not
the stronger
of,
members.
It's, that's
I,
not,
I didn't want to, like, an acknowledgement that I was the weaker
member
is
a failure. You're framing it the wrong way.
Is this a different flavor
Whoever is going fastest does not mean that they are the stronger member. It probably means that they have the lightest pack.
Nope.
And you put more weight in their pack.
No, it means that they have the biggest penis.
But wouldn't that get in the way? Wouldn't that slow them down? Of their legs.
No.
Yes.
You don't know how big penises work, obviously.
You just use it as a pogo stick.
Yeah. Like, oh, man. The NES DuckTales method of scaling a mountain would be great. You just put your cane down and just bounce higher and higher.
Yeah, huh.
And then you go to the moon and you get some cheese.
I never played DuckTales.
It was good. It was a good game.
Huh.
It was, some of the Disney games, some of the Disney NES games were, like, surprisingly well
put together.
Do you
remember the Goonies game?
There was the original Goonies game for the PlayStation.
The arcade one, yeah.
That was never...
And then the Goonies 2.
Goonies 2 for the NES.
Nintendo,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I didn't... The Goonies was more of a standard platformer. It just had, like, levels.
I don't
Goonies
remember... 2, the... Oh, Goonies 2 is like a
Goonies
was like
2
exploration...
sort of created... Like, it was a pre-Super Metroid and Metroidvania. Like, I almost feel like the Goonies 2 was the first game to operate like that. Free-roaming platformer with a map.
I don't remember it being much of a platformer. I thought, I remember...
It was a platformer. There were doors you could go into that would go into, like, a wizardry-style first-person maze crawler. But those were fairly limited in scope.
Sure. Yeah, I just remember it being a lot of exploration of, like, rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it had a big sprawling map that had... It had a front and back side of the map, which was cool.
Hmm.
Like, two sort of parallel...
Yeah, that was
they didn't.
Cool.
I don't think directions switched on them. I think it was more like just two slightly out of phase maps. But that was really interesting. It is really interesting as a historical video game artifact because it did the Super Metroid thing before Super Metroid.
There's a pretty good Let's Play of it
what's,
in the archive.
What differentiates Metroid from Super Metroid?
Map.
Having a map?
Yeah.
I see.
Although, I guess Metroid really was... I mean, Metroid was free-roaming.
Yeah.
First, right? Like, it basically had everything that makes... Everything that is core
I
to
think
that
of,
genre.
I think of it as having a map because I had Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Yeah.
You know, you just...
I had Nintendo Power, too, but I don't remember there being Metroid maps in Nintendo
Power.
I'm
pretty sure there were. There was... Well, there was something. I don't... Maybe it wasn't Nintendo Power. There was definitely a printed map of all the different zones. Because it had to have been in a magazine, because there was no internet back then.
I didn't have a computer with a printer.
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't either?
Well, I mean, I had a computer with a printer, but it wouldn't have made any difference. Like, there was no way to get a file that would have meant anything.
Wasn't there?
No.
I guess there weren't. You weren't on BBSs in the time that you were playing Metroid.
I was, but there was no... But there was no... I was not... finding anything informational
I'll
like that.
I'll bet that there were contemporary ASCII Metroid maps.
Maybe.
At the time. They might have only been passed around in, like, colleges.
But I don't know why... Yeah, I don't know why you would have done that when there was this resource of just...
Well, you could just fax it. Like the joke about safe sex, where one safe is fucking another safe. my dad's office, because my dad... you know, was the sheriff of the county that we lived in. They had a fax machine.
That had
they were fairly early adopters
day.
Of fax machines.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of those, like...
Emojo.
Jokes. So because it's a combination of, like... The police department is a combination of, like, needing a fairly high-tech infrastructure, right? Because that's where the state is going to dedicate their technology resources to. And...
A bunch of guys...
Everybody being just kind of fratty.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was a hotbed of, like...
Was your dad in a frat?
No. Dad was a hippie. Like, it was... I mean, my dad went to college between 68 and 72. So it was, like, prime stoner territory. I don't even know what, like... I don't even know what the frat scene was like. I feel like it was way more, like, rich kids were in frats than, like, douchey kids being in frats.
Huh.
It might still be, I guess. I mean, the douchey kids might be douchey because they're rich kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely, like, there are definitely some notions of fraternities as, like, something that you go to because that's where your dad went kind of things.
Yeah.
But
I think I just smoked a lot of weed because my dad smoked a lot of weed. That was my legacy. And I failed out. He failed out, and it was like, failing out meant you got drafted.
Oh, shit.
So he had to kind of scramble to stay off academic
probation.
Were there
deferments for college students?
Yeah.
Oh.
There were.
Huh.
At least at the time that it was relevant to him.
Sure.
Man, I'm glad that I got too old to draft.
Yeah.
Before they ever drafted anybody for anything. I don't know that it would ever happen again. I feel like there are enough volunteers now.
It was getting pretty slim. They were talking about it.
You need a comparatively smaller army.
Oh, nowadays,
because
sure.
of the technology, right? So it's less of a... Because
we got robots.
Less of a big deal.
Fighting.
The problem is going to be, I mean, if we were doctors, then maybe we're worried about, like, another Korea kind of situation where they draft, you know, 40-year-old dudes who know how to do a thing that nobody else knows how to do. But I don't think it's a big deal, because, like, I think now there are enough volunteers that are smart enough they can...
They're gonna draft the video game makers.
I feel a little bad for all the horses. All the draft horses.
The draft horses. Yeah. And all the beers that get drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and all the
such a
you know,
waste.
You
such
know, all
a waste.
The checkers, because that game used to be called Drafts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they still call it that in England. I don't know about that. Timothy Hartnell. Alright, so Timothy Hartnell was this guy who wrote books, basic programming books, right? Game programming books, by and large. And I loved him. I loved all these books. There was, like, Programming Adventure Games on Your Computer, Tim Hartnell's Big Book of Computer Games, Tim Hartnell's Big Book of Computer Games 2, or whatever. Tim Hartnell's Giant Book of Computer Games 2. And then he, like, randomly, like, just died of cancer when he was, like, 40-something.
Oh.
I found that out years later, and it made me sad. But it was just a lot of, you know, like the age of type in your own games in BASIC.
Such an interesting era.
It was. It produced me. But he, there was a checkers game, and the checkers was always referred to as drafts. D-R-A-U-G-H-T-S. Droughts. Drafts.
Draughts.
Because the English will say draft beer, D-R-A-U-G-H-T, right? Like a draft.
Yeah, no, I think that is.
But
correct.
If they say that a room is drafty, it's draft.
I don't know, but they also
why?
You know.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Brits, answer. I know you know. Should we start answering questions? Are we done bullshitting about nonsense? Riff, have you been playing anything good?
Did you play only once, or what is it called?
One Chance.
One Chance.
Oh yeah, I didn't like it.
What'd you do?
So the first day, spoiler warning generally for anybody that hasn't played this yet.
Flash game called One Chance. If you haven't played it, pause, play it.
Yeah,
and
it'll take you like 3 minutes.
It's 10 minutes.
But okay, so the first day I reasoned that scientist dude doesn't know that there's anything wrong.
But
so
it tells you. Like, there's a cutscene.
The player sees.
Wow, that's a
But the character doesn't know that there's anything wrong.
Sure.
The character doesn't know there's anything wrong until you see the newspaper headline on the second day.
Sure, sure.
So I figured that it was reasonable that he would leave with the dudes from the lab to go celebrate that day.
That was not what that was implying. It was just the one girl who wanted you to go.
No,
well,
that's the
were,
second.
There
day.
Were like two people. Yeah,
no, that was the first
there's
day.
Later that
the first day there was a group of people who want to go out drinking. The second day there's a girl who wants to fuck you.
No.
But anyway, I did that the first day, and then
the very first day she was like, "Let's get out of here."
And then every day after that, I spent in the lab working on the cure.
Okay.
And so the ending I got was the dude dies in the lab on the last day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
I got me alive, but my daughter dead on the park bench.
She's alive. She's alive.
Well, that's no, it's
dead.
Debatable.
How do you know that she's dead?
Eyes closed.
Yeah.
Her skin tone is the same as yours, though. Her skin tone was ashen before you.
She doesn't talk anymore. My impression is that she's dead when you leave the house. You carry her in. You set her down in the lab. You go in. You find the cure. You inject it into yourself. You don't inject it into her because she's already dead.
But you have a syringe in your hand.
But you don't see it. You don't see him injecting it into her because she's already dead.
But it cuts before you would have seen that.
No. She's dead.
Interesting.
It's just you.
Her skin tone was brighter.
Is everybody else's not?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Everybody else who dies is like ashen. Well, everybody who dies from the disease is ashen.
Huh.
Yeah. People who kill themselves, no.
I just feel like...
I kind of want to go back and play all the different branches.
If the authors...
You do, but you can't, and that's awesome.
If the author's point is that you should have been using this little bit of time to spend as much time as possible with your family, I feel like that's...
The first couple of days were not...
selfish.
Were not conducive to that at all.
Yeah.
Because they were just not having any of it.
On the second day, did you go watch the guy kill himself?
Yeah, because you don't have any choice.
You don't have any other
You can't
options.
Get
you
into
could,
the lab on
you
the
could,
second day.
You could have gone back downstairs, and I don't know what that would have done.
Huh.
Right, that's the thing. I don't know what... Like,
yeah.
I think every day is a binary option, and I don't know what the one was.
I like... So there have been games like this, right? Like that every day the same thing or whatever game that came out that's very similar
very,
to this.
Very, very similar.
The fact that the designer only wants you to play this game once, pretty fucking cool.
It's interesting. I mean, like, I spent, like, you know, two or three minutes being like, I wonder if I could figure out a way to play this again. And I was like, it's
no, so
it's
did
tricky.
I. I mean,
it's trickier than...
You could figure out a way to play it again. You could open it in another browser whatever. You could go on another computer.
Another computer, yes. Would use the shared resource.
But I didn't want to. I wanted to do it the way that the guy wanted me to play it. And I did. And, I made my choice.
All of us spent most of our time in the lab.
Yeah. I was just...
I wonder what that says about us.
I mean... This character is, he's the guy who, like, this is your fault, basically, and you're one of the very few people in the world with a chance of fixing it. What are you even doing going home in the evening? Why aren't you working around the fucking clock?
Sure.
And for me, it's like, you're a guy. Why aren't you working around the clock anyway? Because you're going to die, and then everything that you made is all that there will be. So why aren't you working all the fucking time?
And I'm like, we're all going to die eventually anyway.
Let's go to the park. But you didn't go to the park. You still went to work.
I did. Yeah.
because you were trying to win the game.
Yeah, basically.
Yep. Yep.
And now I want to go back and see what all the other options do, and I can't.
Sad. All right, so Twitter questions.
From the Twitter?
Yeah, from the Twitter.
Questions from the Twitter.
The Kathreven wrote yesterday, how fucking awesome is Vashjir? It's fucking awesome! He writes, yeah, man, I shouldn't even talk about
this. You like games with seahorses and seahorses in them?
I shouldn't even talk about this because I do not want either of you motherfuckers off the wagon, but Cataclysm is fucking awesome.
I wasn't sure what you were talking about there for a minute.
No, Vashjir is the crazy fucking underwater zone of... So you'll be interested in this.
An entire zone that's underwater.
The way,
or three zones, actually.
The way that it seems like all of their shit works now is every zone that they've really spent any time on works like the Death Knight starting area.
Hmm.
It's all just like very linear questing that phases the zone through a bunch of discrete states.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, there were definitely a bunch of people doing a bunch of quests inside that giant fish. Right? And, like, it wasn't like
those were all
phased.
People in the same phase as me.
I don't think
they were. Those were all people that were on the same phase. Because if you go in there, you cannot get into that.
And you don't see those people?
To go into it. You can't go there. The door doesn't open until you're on the quest.
Huh.
You can go in there and have it be empty.
Okay.
If you go in the wrong door.
Right, well, that's what I was asking.
You end up with weird shit like that.
Do you not see the people in there? Do you not see
You see the people. You don't see any of the NPCs. You don't see any of the monsters.
So, but they're not phased out of your awareness.
They are. The people aren't, necessarily. But that's just, like, glitchy. I feel like, in general, you are only seeing people who are in the same phase of the quest as you are.
Huh.
And if you go exploring, there's almost nothing in the world. You can move around through everything, but there's almost no bad guys, like...
It seems less interesting
from a inhabiting the world point of view.
I mean,
it's potentially more interesting from a narrative point of view.
It's less interesting to Raph Koster. It's way more fun to play.
If you just let them guide you through the narrative, it's probably more fun. If you are like, I'm going to go explore everything first, it's probably less fun. But then you do the quests, and then the world is populated as it should have been in the first place, and then you could explore.
You know, there's the sense of a passage of time. I mean, it makes World of Warcraft more like KOL in that you've got your version of the world with what shit you've done in it.
Right.
It's weird to me that they went back and they have now changed all of the storyline, and they talk about...
Yeah.
Like,
it is weird. So you play through the 1-60 stuff, and then you go to Burning Crusade, and you're sort of back in time, and you go through Wrath of the Lich King, and you're forward in time from there, but back in time from what you've grown up with.
Like, you know? they have made a decision which, if they are going to be thorough and true to it, they're going to have to rewrite the game every time they come out with a new expansion.
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah.
It is only because they were changing stuff that had already been done.
Yeah, but if they're going to have anything in... No, but if there's going to be something that's going to have an impact...
on stuff that already existed.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing that happened in Northrend but did anything to Outland.
But you were
right?
talking about them saying, now that we've defeated the Lich King... X.
Right, because you are in a place that they have updated since the last...
Right, but... That, like,
if the next expansion,
but because they've done that, they now
have
to
created a weird. They've created a weird little like diverticulum of
Ooh.
Time in the second and third expansions now.
Yeah, it's super weird.
I guess it's weird. I mean, Outland still seems pretty contained to me, right? Because there's no actual intrusion on the old world from the first expansion. Right, narratively, it's just a thing that's happening in a different place with a villain. You play through it, you beat that villain, it's over.
It's a little weird, because I feel like, you know, given infinite resources or whatever, you would come up with a narrative arc that you would then explore over the course of the 20 or 30 years that the game is around, right? Like, you would, so that each thing is moving forward in some sort of plot progression, right? Because, like, when the game came out, there was like this...
Okay, so why wouldn't you... What you're saying is, why wouldn't you apply your 2010 design sensibilities to telling the story that the 1-60 content, that the vanilla
already
content
had
was
told.
Already telling?
That's what I don't understand. Like, because there was this narrative arc of, like, the Silithid menace, right? And then you dealt with that, and then you would... Then you went to Outland,
I mean,
and you dealt with
Was that the narrative
Illidan.
Arc of Vanilla WoW, or was that just the first thing they decided to add to it?
It was the first... No, but it was... All of those things were in the game from
But little
launch.
Hints of it, and I feel like there were little hints of all kinds of stuff, because that's the way we do things,
sure.
right? Like, you know...
But, I mean,
A lot of the stuff that we put in the, like, observatory event was, like, these are things that foreshadow ideas that we have... for content in the future.
Sure.
And we still haven't done all of them.
But there was a lot of Silithid content. Like, a lot. There was, like, all the stuff in N'Goro, there was all the stuff
right.
in...
Right, there was a lot of all kinds of content. There was a lot of troll content, right? You can't
trolls
say
were a playable race.
Okay, but the evil trolls weren't. And then there were all... Then they started introducing these, like, troll
every,
instances
every,
that you could
Every
into, right?
race that you could play had evil versions of that.
Everything had demons. I mean, you could say that because there were these areas in Ashenvale.
Demons were something from the previous lore, though.
Everything was something from the previous lore.
The Silithids weren't. That was new. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. It was I feel like they knew that was going to be the first thing.
Yeah,
so they had the narrative built into the game progression.
Maybe, but they could have done that anyway. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they had a plan, and so they did that, and then I don't know if the Outlands was part of the next plan, but it was so separate that it didn't matter in a lot of ways, you know? And then Lich King was also pretty separate. You know, they started changing a bunch of stuff that, like, even then, they had... Like, in this, I stopped playing before the Wrath of the Lich King, so... They started changing a bunch of the organizational stuff about, like, the Scarlet Crusade. And so I don't know if they went back and dealt with that, or if you, when you were playing 1 through 60, it was you just dealt with the Scarlet Crusade, and then only by the time you got to the Wrath of the Lich King, then you had this new...
The Scarlet Onslaught. Yeah, yeah. I think you did. I mean, I think it did work.
Yeah.
So now they've done this weird thing where the 1 to 60 content is back in time. I can't fault them for it because it's fucking great. Right? It's fucking fun to play. I played like a new character on the undead side from 1 to like 25 so far. All new stuff. It's like some stuff that I've already done or whatever, some mobs that I've already seen and killed.
It's reminiscent of the old content, and like it's like the same ideas and stuff.
Yeah, the same basic layout of where all the cities are and stuff, but it's like it's just so much better crafted. Like it's I remember getting so bored in vanilla. I remember getting really bored. Like, God, I just don't want to do these fucking quests where I just kill 20 of something and then get these drops from something. I'm going to go explore. I'm going to go try and level up my crafting. I'm going to go do something different than just this questing. And now I just never want to stop. Like, when I find myself wanting to stop, it's always like, oh, I'm falling asleep in my chair. I need to stop playing this game. Or it's time to go to work.
Right.
I need to stop playing this game. But it's, like, just fucking fun. It has just completely gotten a hold of me again.
Huh.
I don't know. And I think it has not gotten a hold of me in like a short-circuiting the reward centers in my brain sense. It has gotten a hold of me again just by being fucking awesome.
Interesting. Because you honestly weren't all that into it in a single-player sense very often. Like, you would
like
play
like 5 years ago. I mean,
you'd play it a little bit and then be like, eh. And it was only because you found people to play with that you stuck with it more regularly.
And even then, I never got into like a regular raid schedule or anything. I feel like I took it the least seriously of anybody
that
here in the company.
Introduced to the game.
And I feel like I'm getting the most out of it of anyone. And like, I don't recall you guys ever just being as excited about the game.
I was super excited about it. When I saw ads for it, before they launched
oh,
it.
Oh, sure, sure.
I was like, oh my God, that
looks
be like,
fucking amazing.
That looks
yeah.
like the best game
no, I mean,
that has ever existed.
Like, anybody who knew anything knew that it was just totally going to change the game. What I, you know, on Tobold's blog, he was talking about how, well, Cataclysm is just more of the same, and I'm like, you know, I think that maybe you've just been paying too close attention to it, and so you're like, the frog in the pot that started out cold, and you know you're not noticing
these
like incremental increases in temperature because they have fucking changed. They have changed the landscape of MMOs. They like, I had said on Monday, like, if you had asked me 5 years ago, like, what is going to be the game that becomes the next like fundamental like EverQuest to World of Warcraft style jump in the quality and composition of MMOs, that, you know, it's going to be Blizzard and the game is going to be called World of Warcraft.
What do you think about their first-person shooter MMO?
Is it confirmed that that's what it is?
It's strongly hinted at.
I don't think that they're going to do something unless it's done right.
No, so. I know, but I mean, what do you think of the idea of a first-person shooter MMO?
It may not be something that I'm interested in, or it might, you know? I mean, they might...
Not knowing any more than first-person shooter, it's hard to say.
I don't really like real-time strategy games, but fucking I'll play any one that Blizzard makes, you know? Because
sure.
They're good.
Sure. Yeah?
I didn't like EverQuest. I played 10 or 12 hours of EverQuest, thought, this is bullshit, but World of Warcraft, I was like, you know what? I know this is going to be great.
I mean, I can imagine a FPS MMO made by Valve being really awesome. So I feel like there's no reason why Blizzard could not also do
one
awesome.
Because, I mean, Valve did the like Portal and Team Fortress 2 and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so got, like,
and the Half-Life episodes.
Which
and,
I've not yet played.
Oh, you should. They're really good.
You haven't played any Half-Life at all.
Oh, well, at least play Half-Life 2.
So this is something that I want everybody to like fill me in on. I have avoided buying a lot of stuff on Steam because I know that there are always a bunch of sales around Christmas.
Oh, so you want me to tell you when the Steam holiday sales?
Yeah, if I'm not aware of them, I would like people to tell me when the Steam holiday stuff is happening, because that's when I
think
I want to
a
buy
lot of it
games.
May have already happened.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean already happened?
No, I don't think so. I haven't
really?
Seen it.
There's been a lot happening. I don't. Maybe it's still ongoing. I don't know.
I thought it was supposed to be leading up to Christmas.
The blogs that I read would talk about when there's going to be, like, I mean, Rock Paper Shotgun will say when there is a massive sale. Yeah. Like, I feel like in the next few days there will be some massive, massive sale.
Right when I don't have internet activity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can give me your Steam password and I could buy some shit for you if you really want it, right?
I don't know.
It's not critical.
I could also just buy it.
My buddy who lived across the street from my grandma's house, or he didn't live across the street. He lived across the street from the funeral home where my grandma's funeral was. He lived around the corner from my grandma because those things were all within a block of each other. Says, "Hey, loving KOL. So glad you got me interested in it. Are there any other games in the works, or will you continue to advance KOL?" Yes and yes. I don't know if Josh Cowan is actually listening, but if so, how's it going, buddy? Long time no see. Yeah, it was fun. He had a lot of brothers and sisters. And I used to play Nintendo with his mom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did she play?
We played a lot of Zelda. She was big into Final Fantasy. She had big sheets of paper with all the, like, she had, like, got a copy of the Nintendo Power with all the details about
it. Wow.
I think actually Final Fantasy came with a big fold-out spoiler document.
Huh.
That had a list of all the swords and stuff that you could get. All the swords. That's the only thing I care about.
Swords. I would like an appendix with a description of all the skeletons you can fight and the swords
and
that you can
the
hit them with.
That they drop. Yeah.
Man, did you see that thing on Rock Paper Shotgun? The space funeral game.
What?
The space funeral is the like Mass Effect 2 parody, right? Like that little the little pixel art.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a Mass Effect. It's a Final Fantasy kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's...
it's like the really surreal one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's
like, I mean, it's made in RPG Maker. It's definitely a Final Fantasy-like.
But it's got this side... No, maybe I'm thinking of a different thing.
Maybe we're thinking
the levels
else.
Are like a side-scrolling shooter.
Okay, no, this is something else.
Huh.
It might not be Space Funeral. It's Space Something. It was like
Space
Day... Funerals. Four on Rock Paper Shotgun's advent calendar.
Okay, so that's what Lycra said something about that also.
Yeah, yeah.
And I cannot find what the fuck you guys are talking about. There's a Rock Paper Shotgun advent calendar that is just reviews of games from 2010, and Day 3, which she told me was some crazy surreal flash game, was a review of Stalker: Call of Pripyat.
You know, so it's possible that everybody gets a different calendar.
No, but I. Paper Shotgun has a calendar, has an advent calendar where each day is a game that you can play. And what I saw was an advent calendar on Rock Paper Shotgun where each day is a review of a game.
Yeah.
Wait, can you not play
that's
reviews?
That's what this is.
Wait, can you not play reviews?
But I went there and only day one was clickable, and it was a review of some PC game. And then the last day that I looked at, just by Googling for it, was... I think we're looking at different things.
I think you're looking at different days. If you load up the article for... Maybe they just didn't update their... I think what happened is they didn't update the large GIF with the clickable doors.
Huh.
I'll find a link and link you to it. But
yeah,
it's weird.
So this is
hell.
the second playable game I have heard about, and everything that I saw in there was like reviews of like big budget PC games. Duke Garland says, "Jick, why don't you update oldjick.tumblr.com anymore? I haven't had anything interesting going on."
Also, you said Tumblr was down for like...
Oh, Tumblr was down for a couple days.
A couple days.
I think it was because of the WikiLeaks.
We are thinking about a project in San Francisco.
Well, I'm thinking about a project, and Hot Stuff is thinking about being a woman.
Huh, that's a heck of a project.
So we have thought about this idea of drinking 100 different beers.
I wanted to go to 100 bars.
Yeah.
In January,
which I think is retarded.
You're retarded. I think you're retarded, and you don't have enough man parts to understand how feasible
I think you
is.
you would not enjoy that.
I think I would enjoy it.
No.
All you do is every 3 days you go to 10 bars. And then you have a horrible hangover day, and then a normal productive day, and then the next day you go to 10 bars. And then you have a horrible hangover day and a normal productive day, and then the next day you go to 10 bars.
So instead of 100 bars, we substituted the A for with two E's. and 100 different beers.
Right. And Hot Stuff is totally ghee.
Oh, beers. I was thinking bears.
100 beers. But then Hot Stuff, I was like, well, are we going to do 100 different beers each or 100 of the same beer, the same 100 beers each? And he was like, oh, I don't know. I thought we would do 50 each because I'm a lady.
Because I don't want to drink 100 beers in a month.
Why don't you want to drink 100 beers in a month?
That's too many beers.
You're worried about the calories. You're worried about a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. But you know what? Just do some more exercise. Don't eat dinner. You don't eat dinner anyway.
Drink beer.
You don't eat
drink
dinner
beer.
Anyway. You only consume like 500 calories worth of food a day.
Right. And that would be like probably 600 calories of beer.
Do you actually only eat 500 calories of food a day?
No. Like my lunch is 500 calories probably.
How many calories of food do you eat in a day? 1,500 maybe?
Well, it depends on the day. There are some days where it's like 1,500. Most days it's like 2,500 probably. 3,000, somewhere in there.
I don't know.
You know, around Thanksgiving it was more like 4,000. 4,500.
Elfin wrote, Crimbo Hobopolis is awesome so far. What a great idea. Well, gosh, thanks, Elfin. King Stupid says, what's your favorite Beck album? Also, DC Universe Online. Same thing as City of Heroes? I don't know, man.
I've heard interesting things about DC Universe. I've not seen it or played it myself, but like some of the stories about like how the progression works and stuff like that is kind of neat. And I mean, you make your own superhero, which is very, you know, City of Heroes or whatever, but then you're fighting alongside Batman or Superman or whatever.
So it's like City of Heroes meets Lord of the Rings Online.
Maybe. But then in PvP, you can like trade in credits to actually play as Batman for a while and stuff. Like it sounds like there's some neat things that you can do and stuff. Like, I don't know. It sounded interesting, you know. And like being able to play both the heroes and the villains in the same game was kind of cool. Whatever, instead of having to go City of Villains or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. Like
City of Villains was disappointing. I bought it and got a month of playtime or whatever. And it was exactly the same game.
Evil.
Slightly different flavor on things. Like, it was...
Was City of Villains where they introduced the fortresses or whatever?
Yeah, but apparently that's, like, an endgame thing. And so it's, just, like, it was really... Like, I felt ripped off. Like, I felt like the promises that they made were not delivered to me when I bought and played that game. And also, they stubbornly refused to adopt the, like, sort of standard World of Warcraft mode of controlling your character in a 3D world, which I think you just kind of can't do anymore. Like, that vocabulary is established now, and if you don't speak that language, you are some weird niche bullshit, because you kind of have to make your thing work that way now. Or the people who've been spending 12 hours prior to playing your game playing World of Warcraft are going to be pissed off every time they try to look to the right.
Sure.
And you just don't want that. I, as casual as I am about playing games, it pisses me off when I can't use the sort of, like, typical World of Warcraft muscle memory and control vocabulary to move around in the world.
Do you think they would ever port World of Warcraft to a console?
Probably.
Probably not, actually.
There are many hundreds of actions that you can perform.
Yeah,
even
the controls is a big problem.
No, that's what I'm wondering. Like, would it have to be a console that also had a keyboard?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, at which point it's just a computer. I mean...
Well, but it's not, though, because it also plays, you know, Mario 64 or whatever, right? Like, it's...
So you're asking if they're gonna port World of Warcraft to the Nintendo 64?
Yes.
I'm guessing no.
You don't think so?
No.
Really?
You guys should talk about this while I go pee, because I don't want to take a music break.
Why have we forgone the glorious tradition of the music break?
Because they're harder to edit out. And I like talking. The kids like content.
Yeah, well, you also like peeing. See, this is another case for wireless headsets.
Why don't you guys try to do your jobs? Why don't you man up and try to be... Each of you try to be half the man that I am. And
right,
hold up.
Do you want to be at the top half
hold
or the
up,
bottom
half?
Wait, is this the pogo stick? Is this the pogo stick part, or is this the part where you're?
I'll be back in a minute, kids. I've got an important lizard to drain. And it's just fucking silence.
What are we gonna do?
I can keep reading some tweeter questions
some
or whatever.
Some tweets, some twits.
Owen09 says, I like the incorporation of using Crimbo Tree gifts to kill Uncle Hobo. Any plans on new gifts after the 25th?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we have new gifts in mind specifically, but I'm sure we're going to continue to make new gift items as time progresses.
I don't know that we're going to be altering the gifts under the tree, if that's what you're asking. I had also envisioned the whole Uncle Hobo fight to be a little more puzzly. Like it was very, very quickly obvious what to do because of all the weird coding issues on the back end. Because like the way that C.D. Moyer first implemented it, like even if you went there with nothing, like if you didn't go with anything special equipped, you all that showed up was gift items. Right? And I had, in my mind, you went there, you fought, and just could do no damage because all you had were regular combat items and weapons and stuff like that.
And had to figure out that you had to use that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was
I was surprised
a little disappointing.
I was surprised that the rare gifts, like the ones from under the Crimbo Tree,
are not nearly as the damage is, you know, based in part on how much it costs to buy for the ones that you can actually buy or whatever. But the rarest ones actually do the most damage, and those are the ones that those are not as because so many people have those, like a single clan gets a tree, and suddenly there are 10,000 of each gift.
Well, yeah, but every week, like the red and green sweater, for example, does not do nearly as much damage as the red balloon that you can buy in the gift shop does.
Right, but the red and green sweater, there are more of those, just sort of readily available, than most other gift items.
Oh, okay. You're thinking rarity in terms of how many are in the world. I'm thinking rarity in terms of how likely I am to have.
Sure. I mean, to be fair. You know, I was also if this is a thing that sinks some meat, I would not be upset. So, I expected a lot of people to just end up buying relatively high expensive gift items from the gift shop, but also to sink a bunch of old gift items, you know, potentially.
Yeah.
So, because, the most meat-efficient way to do it is to, use one relatively large item and then sort of plink at him with smaller items until he's gone. You know, you don't have to.
If you can survive, because he does
Yeah, but there's massage oil and whatever.
Well, if that was usable, except it's not.
It is, though.
It is now.
Oh, is it now?
It was meant to be. Okay. When we designed it, it was well, we want you to have to buy the, middle of the road. If you buy the middle of the road gift shop items, you should be able to kill him by using a single full heal in combat.
Yeah.
That was where we balanced the numbers.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
So you not being able to use combat items because there was some miscommunication in the way that this stuff was coded. And you know what? It worked out better the way that it is. It was way, way simpler for C.D. Moyer to do it. Because the way that I wanted it done just wouldn't have worked with the combat action bar, so that was a mess.
Yeah.
And he did it in a way that made it so it did. So that was great. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's gone over a lot better than I expected.
It's interesting hearing people talk about how, we're doing 15 hobo runs a day.
It makes me happy. It makes me happy the number of people who've talked about, who've chimed in against the haters, saying man, I don't know why you're having such a bad time, but I'm back in chat and hanging out with my, it's like the kind of stuff that people said when we launched Hobopolis. It was this is great.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people I haven't talked to in years,
It's interesting doing Hobopolis run again. It kind of makes me want to design another clan dungeon for us.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that in January.
We've got word game work to
do. We've got word game work to do in January, but that's not going to take up all. We're still going to be wanting to work on KOL stuff.
Sure.
We'll have stuff for the other fellas that we'll need to direct the other fellas to do.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Another clan dungeon?
Let's get it. Let's get the thing that I've been talking about into that thing that's there. underneath.
Underneath,
above Gigatech. Yeah.
I think people have pictures of this on the internet.
Yeah, they probably do. Let's fuck. That's I didn't mean to say that. Let's get that done. Let's get that into testing by the end of January.
Or there's that one that's already largely.
Yeah, that one is like has so much work on it and is like it's been. You guys have been sort of like.
Which one? The library?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it
has
does.
So little work done. So little.
Okay.
Almost none.
All right.
A tiny amount of design. Like seriously, no.
Okay.
You say that because you don't know. Yeah, like I think you have this view of like what things are hard and what things are easy, and you look at this and you think, oh well, the hard stuff's done, but no, the hard stuff hasn't even been started.
Wow.
Like, anyway, let's look at these forum questions.
Okay.
Black Bear Gamer writes, how do you guys feel about Bumcheek City's automated ascension script? I think it will save me a lot of the time, but it seems a little cheaty. I mean, it's inevitable.
I'm surprised that it would have taken this long for somebody to make one of those. Really? Yeah. Right? Like, did Mafia not did
think,
Mafia not automatically
were
ascend you?
Scripts before, but maybe you had to have enough skills that they were the purview of only a handful of people. My understanding was that a lot of Bashy's ascensions were scripted.
Yeah, they were. He said that as much.
And so, I mean, this existed. Maybe it just wasn't quite out there in the. Hey, kids, plug this in and do a distributed denial-of-service attack against everyone. Hey, by the way, thanks, fucking anti-WikiLeaks assholes, for fucking with PayPal. That isn't going to have any repercussions that you maybe don't intend. Jesus fucking Christ.
So, what, you mean pro-WikiLeaks people?
Yeah, sorry. Anti-WikiLeaks backlash people. Anti-WikiLeaks prosecution assholes. Fucking Anonymous. Fucking 4chan. Fucking 4chan, man.
It is an interesting time for the internet,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the only thing that these assholes are going to accomplish is making it so the government is going to completely clamp down on the internet. Because they fucking can. They fucking can. They're the government. You can't stop them. It's, you know, it's like, it is as though, like, let's imagine that the Old West.
Yeah.
Right. So in the Old West, it was a rootin' tootin' lawless good old time, and then it turns out there was some money there, and so, boom, civilization. Government sweeps in, and now you're a state like everybody else, right? And it's the same shit. The money's been there for a long time, and we've managed to hold them off, right? Like, we, as the people who live on the internet, have managed to hold them off for this long, but now, thanks to these assholes, it's like, oh, wow, these guys are a serious threat to, like, the credit card infrastructure. Fuck this. We got to take control of this shit.
So here's a question. Like, do you believe that the notion of whistleblowing is a good idea? Just abstractly. Like, I'm not talking about WikiLeaks. I'm just talking about, like,
in general. Honestly don't know anymore.
Really? I think it is definitely... I would definitely say that whistleblowing in the, like, pure sense of someone inside an organization who is like, wow, this organization is doing something really shitty, I need to let somebody outside this organization know. I need to let the world know so that they get stopped, because I can't stop them on my own.
Right.
I think that's an important societal, like, thing.
Right, but it is a thing that demands individual sacrifice on the part of the person who's doing it, right? Like,
usually, yeah.
And so, I don't know, man. I honestly don't know how I feel about all of this shit, right? We've talked about this on, like, every show. In fact, somebody said,
Did you talk about it with Scully?
Bahak Sislan says, semi-random question. From listening to the show, it's rather obvious that at least some of you have some rather strong opinions politically. Yet I've never noticed much political satire in the game. Assuming I'm not just blind, is this intentional, or does it simply not occur to you to make those jokes? And if it is intentional, why? I can probably guess, but this is more interesting. I don't want to bring politics into the game, and I don't want to bring religion into the game, really.
I mean, beyond the fact that they're so contentious, it's just that political issues are based in a very particular moment in time.
Well,
and next year those jokes aren't going to be interesting anymore.
That, and, like, you are often making a joke from a particular point of view, and if somebody has a different point of view, they're not going to think your joke is funny.
Right.
Even in the same time.
And I'm often making jokes from points of view that I select at random based on what's funniest. Right? I mean, like, I write a lot about stuff that, you know, and I know, like, most people don't like Brussels sprouts, so I'm going to write a description of some Brussels sprouts that's like, oh, God, this is fucking disgusting. Oh, because that's funny, right? What I just said was super hilarious.
Yeah. You should sell that joke.
I like Brussels sprouts. But, like...
Brussels sprouts are great.
I mean, I don't think that it would be... Like, I would not say that we wouldn't make political jokes in terms of, like, you know, making... Like, let's say we establish a very rigid caste system among the Merkin, and then we make jokes about how that's lame. Right? I mean, we wouldn't...
That's not so much
stop short of making, like, anti-fascism jokes, anti-totalitarianism jokes, right? But
we have Rudolph the Red. I mean, we have
sure.
Sort of...
But we would not... I don't know.
Do you think we would, like, make fun of, like, corporate structures?
Yeah, I think we do pretty regularly. And I think this whole combo is centered in, and I know you know that. I know that that was the joke that you were making.
Yeah. Like,
so whistleblowing, you were saying.
So I think it is an important social institution. I think the distinction with WikiLeaks is that when, as I understand it, in the past, when someone has been a whistleblower, they have, like, taken important documents and released them to show a particular thing. People have not, in general, just taken secret stuff sort of at random and then just publicized it without even knowing what the fuck is in it. And that's the thing that I just don't understand. Like, it's like saying...
To be fair, I think they did that with the Afghanistan documents.
Yeah.
But they have not done that with...
They have not released the whole thing, but
the cables, right? They are carefully...
I mean, the
redacted.
Cables are being filtered through the news.
But they
media
still are. They're
deciding
they're,
which ones.
But okay,
they're
but,
releasing
but
them whether
people,
they're important.
So
or
no,
not.
Here, but the th- here's the thing. People are just giving WikiLeaks random documents, and then trusting them to filter them out, right? People are like people are not being conscientious whistleblowers. They're just like, oh, I found here's a secret Scientology, you know, manual or whatever. Here you go. It's just a secret thing. Here you go. It's like WikiLeaks is just a clearinghouse for information that's supposed to be secret.
And
that's
what's weird.
That's
is that
weird.
Now they definitely have an agenda, right? Like WikiLeaks is acting as an agent. Whether it's one person or a commune or whatever, whether it's one person or a corporation, as evil as that fucking structure is, like...
Because WikiLeaks is like 45
people.
They
have a bunch of information that they are choosing what to disseminate.
Right.
Right? So now...
So now there's editorial... There's like, now there's editorial
yeah,
content
there's
on their
editorial
part.
Bias.
Sure.
There is agency in what they're doing
yeah.
beyond just spreading out everything. Which is why some of the people who are involved in WikiLeaks have now formed that other group, OpenLeaks, or whatever.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, as a response to... I mean, it's like a sort of an anti-Assange thing. I mean, they're trying to distance themselves from that guy, and I don't know why anybody is surprised that you know...
Like,
I'll be surprised if Julian Assange is alive a year from now.
Would WikiLeaks release documents about corruption within WikiLeaks? Right.
Huh.
For example. That's a question. Like, I can see... I can imagine,
would,
like...
Would WikiLeaks publish a document so large that even they couldn't distribute?
What I'm... Like... I can imagine a situation
WikiLeaks
where, like, Fox, like,
all the documents.
You find information about, like, Fox News that's, like, shows how, like, they're full of shit or whatever, and you're not going to be able to publish that on Fox News. Like, they're just going to refuse to disseminate that information, right? So having a bunch of different channels to disseminate information that's going to be blocked in other channels or whatever is good. You know, I don't know enough about what all is going on to really have a firm opinion, but it does seem kind of sketchy to me the way that all of this is going down.
You know, the fact that they're like attacking credit card companies, you know, whatever, maybe the credit
card
companies.
I've heard actually recently that I don't know about all of them, but there is now a push inside Anonymous to
stop that schism. Yeah. There's that schism between the, like, sort of chaotic neutral and chaotic good.
And now they're pushing towards, instead of doing that, into reading all of the cables and publishing the interesting ones that haven't been published yet. So that seems like a good thing.
I don't know. I just don't know. You know, a lot of secrets are boring.
Yeah, and a lot of them, a lot of them are boring, but they piss off somebody and make things difficult for people that are trying, like, fundamentally probably trying to do a good job, you know? That's the thing. Like, openly, potentially, just like, harming our relationships with all these other countries.
It's like the number
for
of people
no goddamn
it is
point.
Like it, for no reason. It is like the people who just fundamentally mistrust the police. Right?
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. There are a lot of people who fundamentally mistrust the police, and what they will do is they will spend all day reading stories about corrupt police abusing their power, and what they are not doing is taking into context the fact that, like, for every one of those, there are a fucking 1,000 cops that, like, take some woman away from a guy who's beating her and give her a place to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and it is impossible for there to be any perspective when you are the kind of person who refuses to acknowledge any data about anything.
Sure.
Right? There was a fucking Metafilter story about Jake Applebaum. There was a Metafilter story about Jake Applebaum that just described him as a superhero. And then there were a handful of people in there saying, like, what
I
the
need some
fuck
more context.
Is
who is Jake?
Jake Applebaum is that fucking Tor guy who I had the argument with about fucking BitTorrent. And how I was like, well, you know, like, I know for a fact that people are using your product to rip me off as a business owner. Like, how do you feel about that? It's like, that isn't happening. Nobody's misused. My product is only used by Chinese dissidents so that they can blog without fear of getting killed by their governments. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right, sure. That's the company line. But how do you really feel when you're trying to sleep at night knowing that for the most part your shit is being used to just spread child porn and to rip people off? He's like, no, that doesn't happen. I'm like, no, come on. It's like BitTorrent. BitTorrent is not fundamentally an evil technology, but it is primarily just used to steal shit. You have no data to back that up. What the fuck are you talking about? Have you ever met anyone who's used BitTorrent? Because that's what BitTorrent is fucking used for. That's a solipsistic argument. You're saying that your opinion is the truth. Anyway, fucking Jake Applebaum. He's the guy who, we learned this, right? He figured out how to hack the parking meters in San Francisco so that you could just get free parking, mm-hmm. and published it. So it just cost the city like $30 million to replace all their parking meters that they now just couldn't use anymore because it had been openly published how to, like, trivially rip them off. Oh, thanks. You're a fucking hero, Jake. Good on you. You've made the world a better place by exposing the dangers of slightly less secure parking meters than you would like for there to be.
Instead of working with the city to fix the problem. Yeah.
Or, instead of just fucking getting free parking for the rest of your life, telling that to just enough people that you could get laid as much as you want to, and not fucking making it public so that you just cause a huge fucking problem. You know, it's...
Is that more or less moral, though, what you were just ranting
at? It is not more or less moral, but it is less harmful. Right? A band of outlaws living outside the system, doing whatever the fuck they want because they have figured out where the cracks are, cause less damage than a fucking white hat hacker who finds these cracks and then tells everyone about them. There is no fucking way. There is no fucking way that he and everyone that he met that year would have gotten more than $25 million worth of free parking. Right.
Fire sheep, for
but
example.
Publishing it, cost a city that he would probably claim to love fucking tens of millions of dollars. And it's the same shit. It is just this indiscriminate use of, like, oh, look what I found. And it's like,
I mean, like, how do you feel about fire sheep in that same...
Exactly the same. fuck you, whoever released that shit. You know what? It's interesting. It's interesting that you can do that. Use it. Write this software. Go to a coffee shop. Post something funny on somebody's Facebook wall. Fuck. Steal $1,000 from somebody. Steal $1,000 from somebody. That is less immoral than publishing it and making it so nothing is fucking safe anymore. Well, making it so companies have to spend billions of dollars to secure themselves against this bullshit that now everyone who wants to be an asshole but doesn't know how is suddenly aware of. There are a lot of people who would steal everything that they have if only it was easy enough. And if you make it easy for them to do it, you are responsible for all of those fucking
things. But here's a question, though. Like, let's say you find, you know, a security vulnerability, and you tell, you know, the companies that are most profoundly affected by this, you know, about the problem, and they don't fix it. Like, what recourses do you have? I mean, I feel like publishing it is one possible recourse.
Publishing
right?
it is one way to force them to do it. I mean, yeah. Bashy giving everybody billions of meat was one way of forcing us to fucking reset after White Wednesday. But it ended up just being a total fucking dick move that made our jobs a lot harder.
Sure.
You know? I mean, but then, by the same token, Muzzy buffing everyone with a million turns of every buff made it so we had to make the game less fun by severely limiting the amount of MP that you could get. Right? Because we have to balance against these assholes with more time on their hands than ethics. You know, maybe he wasn't an asshole. Maybe he was making the game better. Maybe he didn't. Maybe the game is better as a result of that. But, like,
I think it is an interesting, like, situation where...
I feel like you have this MIT backing where you have a lot of respect for that kind of, like, cowboy mentality.
Yeah, as long as it's handled with responsibility.
And that's the thing. I feel like the MIT mentality handles it very responsibly.
Well, because people get hurt if you don't, you know? Like, releasing of all those Afghanistan documents, without any kind of thought about what lives you might literally be putting in danger. You might be killing people by releasing these names. Like, that is just bullshit, you know? Like, that's the kind of thing that's just not acceptable. And the fact that... Well, that's... And information does not want to be free. Like, your medical records, your credit card numbers, your, like...
No, that's
numbers.
Personal privacy. That's a different thing.
No, but that's all fucking information.
No, that's the thing. I, Zach Johnson... That's my real name, by the way. Do you guys want my social security number? Because I'm sure you could probably fucking find it somewhere. Ask Jake Applebaum. I'm sure he'll give it to you. Because what damage could that do? I have privacy. Asymmetric Publications doesn't, because Asymmetric Publications is a fucking corporation. Corporations are inherently evil. Why don't you tax those rich assholes some more? I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, they champion personal privacy.
There's an actual legal structure for trade secrets, right? Because, like, the formula to Coca-Cola is, like, a trade secret. And I don't know what...
And, I mean, insider trading is against the law, right? Like,
sure.
Buying and selling stock based on...
knowledge.
Based on
have.
Primary knowledge of what's going on with the company, there are laws to prohibit that.
From the SEC is supposed to, like, crack down on that stuff. But that's extremely difficult to prove except in the most egregious cases, you know?
Clyde, by the way, writes, an Oyster card is basically the prepaid card they use for all public transport in London. No, I know what it is, Clyde. I want to know why it's called an
Oyster card.
Oyster
card, yeah.
That was what I was talking about. Yeah, let's stop talking about this. I'm getting hoarse from yelling.
And all the stabs in your head.
the attitude just makes me really angry. Because I feel like it is very easy to sit in a room and say everyone should just tell everybody everything and the world will be a better place. But what you're doing is that you are...
I feel like that's a very, like, 18-year-old attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And,
like,
and
I went through that phase where I was like, total honesty is the way to
yeah,
go. And
no,
it
but
just,
then it turns out that makes you an asshole.
Well,
so then you stop.
It's also just a bad idea, right? Like, it's not just an asshole. It's like...
And it also comes from people wanting to be known as the great Robin Hood who told everybody this thing. It's a desire of that fame.
Is it that,
well,
or is it the Emperor's New Clothes? Like, it's, you want to be the kid who, it's like, oh yeah, everybody's naked or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, that's another way to put it.
But either way, I think you want the attention.
Yeah,
I mean,
and like, where it used to be that, like, if you knew this parking meter trick, you would get a lot of, you'd get in your mind sufficient attention by telling your friends and people that you met. But now that we have the internet, that few number of people isn't enough anymore, because you are able to tell everybody in the world and get everybody in the world to know your name.
There was a summer.
That's what you
There
want.
Was a summer where I drank Coke for free.
Yep.
Because I figured out how to read underneath the caps to find the free Cokes, and I bought two Cokes at the beginning of the summer, and I would take, and they were both Cokes that were, you know, one free Coke, and so I would take those two caps, get two bottles of Coke that were also one free Coke, because I could tell in advance that they were free Cokes, and so I just would cycle through two Cokes at a time an entire summer. The very next summer, Pepsi came out with the iTunes track, one third of the caps was like a free track on iTunes or whatever, and somebody published, here's how you look, here's how you can read under the cap so that you always are getting the iTunes ones and ignoring the ones that aren't. And ever since then, all the programs have been changed so that there's no ever an instant
there's
winner.
There's like the online.
Nothing is an instant winner. An instant winner anymore. And so that was a case of...
So that's the thing. There was a guy like you getting free Coke, and that was probably okay. And there was a thing where, like, every once in a while you'd take the cap off a can of Coke and be like, of a can of Coke, yeah. And you'd be like, sweet, I get a free carafe of Coke from my barrel of Coke distributor. But, yeah, and then somebody publishes it to everybody, and they have to replace that whole kind of cool system with something that's just bullshit. And that's what you're doing.
Okay. Arbitrage is the idea of
making
a profit
based on imperfect knowledge of a
yes.
market.
And it seems like all of these people want everyone to have perfect knowledge, which in that case, I think the economy grinds to a halt because you cannot make any money. Because profit is impossible when everybody knows everything.
Is profit impossible?
Yeah, profit goes to...
I mean, retail becomes impossible, right? Because everyone would just order everything online. I mean, like...
Everyone would get everything at the lowest possible price, and everyone, in order to be competitive, everyone would be offering everything at the same price, which would be... at, like, zero profit. No one would be making any money because of competition, theoretically. I mean, that's profit goes to zero as
knowledge increases to perfect.
Yeah, basically, right? Like, I mean, that's not entirely true if there's not enough competition or whatever, but, like, in established markets, I think that would be the case. And that's not... I mean, that would... have major repercussions for the way that we live our lives.
Yeah, you know, again, it's possible that we're on the cusp of some huge revolution that's going to change the way the world works, right? But I kind of don't want assholes like that in charge of it. Because I didn't vote for them.
That said, why do we pick the politicians that we do, you know?
Yeah, we don't.
They look good on camera.
They're good liars.
Yeah. You know, who knows?
Meaty Donut writes, all the past Crimbos have had one outfit associated with it. Well, we already have one from Uncle Hobo, but will there be another one from the main Crimbo event? There will be at least one more outfit from the main Crimbo event. Weren't there two outfits last year?
I don't recall.
Maybe there was only one outfit.
There's the outfit that comes from the presents, usually, and then there's sometimes a separate outfit, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we did last year. Sometimes the presents are just, you know, like those offhands... Darth Dud talks about sometimes.
Yeah.
As being, strictly speaking, optimal.
Yep.
I don't fucking know. Shop Troll says, a blast from the past! Tier 3 meatsmithing, whatever happened to it? Weren't the duck feathers going to be part of it? If this is not happening, will these items ever get a meatsmithing recipe? Yeah, that was a long time ago that we put in those items that were marked
meatsmithing. I think it would be incorporated into the January project that we've currently decided.
Can we agree to do that in January? Let's do that in January.
We can work on it. Sure.
It's a bunch of work, but most of the work is writing.
Sure.
Which we're good at.
Sure.
That's where we're Vikings.
That is such a fucking weird phrase.
I already had a handful of awesome ideas for it.
Yeah?
Sweet.
Are they all Viking related?
Yeah, they are.
Sweet.
I mean one. I had one awesome idea that was Viking related.
You actually did have a Viking related idea.
Yeah, that was.
That's really funny.
Yeah, no, I thought that's what you were.
I wasn't, but I am now. That's great.
Blue Scream says, by the way, you know what? Vamp for a few seconds. I forgot something in my office.
Vamp for
yeah,
a few
vamp
seconds?
For a few. Act like vampires. Whoa, fucking crazy shit's going on with this cord.
See, I don't have any more questions to answer because I don't have access to the forums from my lack of computer here.
I've got a forum.
You've got a
here.
Forum?
Blah, blah, blah. Where is it? Question answer thread for radio show. Should I just pick one at random? Why is there no semi-rare in the dungeon full of dungeons?
That's a good question.
Do either of us have an answer to that?
The dungeon full of dungeons isn't a zone, right?
Yeah, that's
so that's
true.
That's one. That's one
why is
reason.
There no semi-rare in the market square?
If they're asking like the daily dungeon, which I think is what they. Oh, they're talking about like all of the dungeons, maybe? Because there might not be one in. Isn't there one in the Limerick dungeon? I'm pretty sure there's one there, isn't there?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because there might not be one in the Haiku dungeon. Are there semi-rares in any of the dungeons, in the dungeon full of dungeons?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, that's a good question. Dungeons are not something that you can semi-rarely go into.
So I wanted to, what I did when I went to my office just now was I got this list of players who've sent us super sweet Christmas presents.
Oh, nice.
And
oh,
I wanted
yeah.
to thank everybody. First, I'd like to thank Myzim for sending us a pretty sweet stocking mimic tree ornament that's a stocking with a pretty growly face on it that scared me a lot when I opened the envelope. I'd like to thank Sunshine for sending us a bunch of buttons, a bunch of various Mr. and Mrs. and Ms. and Senor accessories that were pretty sweet. I'd like to thank Casey Wiederman for a book about World of Warcraft and philosophy, and then a magazine about the dangerously empty lives of teenage girls, which he gave to Hot Stuff so that Hot Stuff could fill those lives with his penis. Donna Matrix for an ornament that her child made that was adorable, and some Russell Stover chocolates. And Blue Scream, who wrote this question, which is why I thought of this, for sending this pretty awesome spaghetti elemental Christmas tree ornament, which is really neat. It's made out of a ball of styrofoam and some pipe cleaners.
And a various assortment.
I got a couple too. Data Vortex sent me a couple of books off of my Amazon list, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
And somebody, Slania just handed it to me when she came in the office. I don't know who actually sent it, but somebody sent me a book of subversive cross-stitch patterns, which is pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Data Vortex and Mystery Gifter. That was pretty sweet and awesome.
God damn it. I ate lunch at Subway today thinking that I would use Subway gift card, but I forgot about it when I got to Subway.
That's sad.
And I also still forgot who sent it.
Gamelli would like us to, at some point, thank the community for being so nice. In particular, dealing with bug reports and stuff like that. Like,
oh yeah,
he and a handful of other dev team members are like the front line of dealing with all the bug reports that come in. And he says that people are, by and large, extremely courteous and nice in responding to questions and stuff like that.
We have a good community.
We do have a good community,
especially like recently experiencing like the Minecraft forum community and other online communities.
Yeah, Jesus
kind
Christ.
Of brought it back into line how awesome our particular community really is.
Because we only have a handful of dicks.
I think it's
asymmetric.
Something about
we have a handful of dicks.
Shake like a shake weight. I think it's something about being on the west coast of MMO Isle. it's like all the sea air.
Right, we're in an ivory tower. Roypy says, thoughts on the Play Havoc thing you just did? Think you guys will do it again? Not necessarily with him, in the future. The thing about having a guest on a show is that it is really awkward and weird to have a conversation with somebody over Skype, because there is just enough of a delay that it
People
makes
step
it
on
so
each other
you
a lot.
Step on each other all the time. And Scully and I still do it a little bit, but we have, by and large, learned how to talk in that context.
The Diamond Radio program does a pretty good job not stepping on each other.
It is rough with random people, though. I mean, there were people saying that I sounded uncomfortable, and I was a little uncomfortable when I was talking to Play Havoc, because, like, I was trying to figure out sort of how to deal with that, right?
Because you were cuffing his balls.
I was cuffing his balls over the internet. I had my hand in a sort of a gel.
But it's a haptic gel. So
yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Haptic, like touch, like a gel that.
I had my hand. I was submerged in a box of gel.
Right.
And there was a hand, a peripheral on Play Havoc's end that was cupping his balls, and getting feedback.
Right.
There was
teledildonics.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it was uncomfortable. Because I always find it weird to talk to a dude when I'm cupping his balls. I really just want to shut up, you know. Words is not the thing I want in my mouth at that moment, is what I'm saying.
But gel is really gross.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's weird. It was always weird and awkward having a guest on Skype, because it's, you never know what somebody's connection is like, and it's weird. Like, the timing issues make a natural conversation hard enough.
Sure.
And trying to have a conversation with somebody that you don't know makes it enough more difficult that it's, like, sort of not worth doing.
When I was in Germany, I had a couple conversations over Skype that were much clearer and, like, better sounding than my phone normally is. So I feel like the connection quality over Skype varies tremendously from call to call, too.
It does vary tremendously.
And I wonder, is there not a Skype Prime that you could get that would be better quality?
Better optimized?
But what, I mean, Skype is peer-to-peer,
optimized.
So what...
Is it?
What? Yeah. I mean, their service...
There's no central...
There's not a central... Why would there be?
I don't know, so that they can monitor all of the calls and...
Oh, so they can record them, so that if you Skype
to the
Let's
CIA.
Roll from an airplane that's being hijacked,
exactly.
They can make up a story about a rugby team that... guides the plane, that takes over the controls of a plane and guides it into a spot where it's easier for the Air Force to shoot it down. Air Force. The president flies in an Air Porsche.
Solid gold Air Porsche.
Sleepy Worm says, Happy Crimbo! Congratulations on a robustly orchestrated rollout of Elf Alley. Thanks in large part to its early viral success, certain divergent market factors have synergized, allowing for a diverse cross-section of monetization schemes. The metrics of Crimbo 10 are still hashing out, but early reports indicate that Crimco has officially disincentivized Ascension. Given this, do you think that this year's Crimbo Cafe will be mostly ignored? No, I don't, actually.
Not anymore.
I think that
we've come up with a killer app.
We have.
For B2B eyeballs. And it actually is.
It's breakfast.
It's C2C eyeballs.
Bed to breakfast eyeballs. Yeah. Sleepy Worm also wrote, for the radio show, would you consider bringing back Brain Cracker Sweets? I love them so much. He says, I heart them so much. Also, Shiverwarp says, I couldn't masturbate to Uncle Hobo. Make it again. There's a lot of people talking to each other in this thread, and...
That's not questions.
What about Radio Bugbear?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to ever go back to Radio Bugbear, or is it a thing that of the past?
I don't know. Are we ever going back to Radio Bugbear?
Are we ever going to answer our voicemails?
Jesus Christ. We gave people too many opportunities to talk to us, and they're all terrible.
Are you going to check the fax machine?
Yeah.
Just the fax machine.
Have you checked the coop out back to see what kind of carrier pigeons have arrived lately? And what messages they are bearing?
Mufkin writes, I took a computer ethics class in which the teacher condoned the kind of activity in which you can threaten, although I think this is totally the wrong word, to release information about a security vulnerability if a company does not solve the problem. Basically, it is better if the whole public has the information available to back out of the system or protect themselves in other ways than to wait for black hats to find it themselves and roam free, getting everyone's shit without anyone knowing what's going on. Except that it is better for a handful of black hats to be stealing shit all the time than for the system to have to be rebuilt from the ground up because some white hats have decided to tell everybody about the vulnerabilities.
I think they become gray hats at that point.
It is more
cost-effective. They fall into a chasm and they are reborn as gray hats.
Right, yeah, they're rebodied.
Yeah.
It is... If you are talking about security being in the best interest of an organization, right? It would be better for one person to know a trick about KOL that gave them effectively infinite meat than it would be for
everybody
to that know. Person to inform everyone about it.
Although,
it would cost us less. Because the damage that was done in between the release and us fixing it would be way, way worse than all of the damage that that one guy would do over the course of a lifetime. And I'm not condoning that guy's activity, right? Because it's theft, it's bullshit, it's wrong. But, like, stores expect people to steal shit, right? What they don't expect is for somebody to create a website that says, hey, by the way, if you send me this, if you know, here's an effortless way for you to cash in every rebate that you ever get, then they have to stop doing it. Right? The reason that rebates work for the people that use them is because not everybody knows about it. Not everybody actually goes through with the process of getting the rebate. Right? You when you are operating at a scale of a corporation, you gotta look at the math of a lot of things, and it's like, you know, like the example I gave, one person getting infinite meat, not a big deal. That person telling everyone how to get infinite meat arguably makes the game better and more secure, but does
it makes the matter more urgent for us, so we fix it faster.
But if it hadn't been made urgent, we never would have had to fix it at all.
Well, that's not true, though.
It is true.
No, because you can't, like, one person who can indiscriminately steal money from banks while better than everybody being able to indiscriminately steal money from banks, like, you still need to solve the problem, right? You can't just have somebody stealing money from banks.
But I would argue that you can. So I would rather have one person stealing $1,000 a day than that one person telling a billion people how to steal $1,000 today and then I fix it. Right? I'm better off with that one guy stealing from me for a long period of time and not fixing it than I am with everyone stealing from me until I fix it. Like, yes, the end result is that my system is more secure, but I'm out $1 trillion as a result of that. Because of the way that this was handled. I mean, that's the thing. What are you trying? You're trying to make the world a better place. All right, so this bank now has a very secure system and no money to pay anyone. Because all of their money got stolen because I told the public how to steal their money. Right? Like, it just... The ends don't even justify the means in that case.
No,
the ends are also shit. The means were shit, and the ends are also shit.
So here, I mean, the sort of code of ethics that sort of developed around bugs and KOL was if you find a bug, you report it, and then as long as it remains open, you can exploit it.
But you don't tell everybody else about it.
No, I know. But that's what I'm saying. The distinction that I don't feel like you're drawing is if you are just exploiting a bug without reporting it, that's malicious. Like, that's not...
It is malicious, but it is less malicious than exploiting it and telling everyone else how to exploit it.
Sure.
It is more malicious than exploiting it and telling us about it.
But I just, like...
The best thing to do is to tell us about it and not exploit it. That is the most ethical thing to do. Within the realm of acceptability, by the rules that we've established, you can also tell us about it, use it to your benefit, as long as it is not to the detriment of people at large, right? If it's just like e-penis, if it is just you becoming wealthy, then you know what? Whatever. Do what you can. Don't script it to hammer on the fucking database. That's why we can't do this anymore. You know? It's become too easy to abuse everything. Next worst thing, abuse it without telling us. Absolute worst thing, tell everyone else how to abuse it. Absolute worst. the absolute worst thing that you could do in terms of the overall impact of the thing that you've discovered is to tell everyone about it.
What if you release a virus that kills everything in 6 days? That might be the worst thing. That might be slightly worse, I think.
That would probably be worse.
Yeah, I think that might be worse. You could also go back in time to then try to stop yourself from releasing the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Or whoever released the virus, because maybe it isn't you.
Did you hear that the Telltale Games' new Back to the Future series is mostly going to be set in the 30s and have to do with Doc Brown and his family?
I didn't know anything about
it. It's pretty awesome. I'm excited.
Huh.
Isn't it out?
No.
You can buy it, though.
Are you trying to
say... You can probably pre-order.
Are you saying Doc Brown is gay?
Yeah. Christopher Lloyd is out of the closet. All right. Radio Bugbear for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Lord Poopy Pants says, thanks for making this super sweet game, and about account retention, my old account was deleted around 2005, but I still came back. I think this is fairly common. Yeah, I think that you're right. Gevis says, who cares about difficulty? When is the Crimco office slut going to give me my Crimcomidia or Crimconeria? Crimcoid sounds like hemorrhoids. Yeah. Grimdale says, regarding using Crimbucks this year, penguins were puttyable /4D camera. There's a good chance people have been farming Crimbucks all year.
I don't think there's a good chance of that.
Yeah,
I think there is
a good chance that somebody could have farmed up to 365 Crimbucks. Printingqueezer says, on several occasions I've forgotten to have a permable skill ready when ascending. Sometimes if you don't have one handy, you're just out of luck and can't perm. Yeah, that sucks. Sorry.
I guess we could put a notice in the confirm box, like, for people who've ascended 20 times, like, are you sure you have a skill you want to perm?
Yeah.
Right, because that's a thing.
Breaking that interface down into fewer steps.
Yeah, it's almost like we should overhaul that whole thing.
Yeah, it almost is like we should. Bahu says, a lot has changed in the interface since this was last asked, so any reason why we can't have outfit graphics overwrite custom avatars? Yeah, I would really like for that to be an option.
Me too.
Yeah.
And also your actual class and level override a custom title.
All the time, though.
Yeah, but if you want to turn off your custom title, right? Can you do that?
Can't you?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think you can.
I don't think you can.
I think you can.
Maybe you can. The account menu is so labyrinthine that I don't even know what you can do.
I know. There's a new version of it, though.
Have
you messed with it?
It's pretty cool.
Kind of cool. It needs some work.
Sure. It's pretty cool, though.
It's pretty cool. It needs some work.
Yeah, your level and class is listed in your title selection list.
Is it now?
Yeah. All
right.
So you have exactly what you want.
Okay, cool.
Ah, Christ, my voice. I yell so much about things that upset me.
Yeah, you get really heated when Jake Applebaum comes up.
Name-dropping fucker.
Oh, by the way, hey, look, here's a picture of me with Vince Cerf. You want to beat off to it?
CloudStrife says, can we get a How Many Do You Want box in Mr. Store? Because I was trying to get 5 seed catalogs and end up with 2 dramatic hedgehogs instead because the arrows moved the selection.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's weird that there's not.
We just never assume that anybody wants more than one of anything from there.
Landar2 says, Jick, enjoyed your discussion about art. A more formal definition would assist with clarifying what you're trying to say about what is or is not art. How about the following? Art is a selective recreation of reality that is an end in and of itself. This explains why photography is not art. It's selective.
Whoa!
It is an end in and of itself, but it is not a recreation. It is artistic, but not properly art.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not a recreation.
This is why architecture is not art. It's a selective recreation, but its primary purpose is utility. Therefore, it contains artistic elements, but is not properly art.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How is photography not a recreation?
I feel like photography is not art because it is a recreation of reality. I feel like a sufficiently detailed painting is not art.
Oh, my God.
But, okay, a painting that is... Okay, a photograph that you edit a dick into, that's art.
What if it's a photograph of a painting?
And then he says, by the way, how are you enjoying the design of everyday things? Once you've finished it, I highly recommend emotional design. Yeah, I finished it a long time ago, and based on this question that I read last year, I ordered emotional design, and I started reading it today. Once you've finished that, Human Factors is my field, and I think you will get a lot out of reading Emotional Designs as a companion book to explain the aspects of design that are not strictly about usability.
Wait, his field is like measuring girls?
Human Factors, yeah.
That's a hot field.
No, he's figuring out what numbers each individual girl can be broken down into. Usually it's 36, 24, 36.
Right.
Oh, man. Did I ever tell you guys about the one time I pissed a girl off a whole lot?
The one time?
Yeah. No, I know. That's funny. So this girl that I was dating, we were sitting watching television or whatever, and she, I was saying something stupid, and so she picked up the remote, pointed it at me, and said, mute. So then I grabbed it out of her hand, pointed it at her, and said, 36, 24, 36. And then she was really mad. For like a really long time. It was funny.
Was she mad because of that, or was she mad that the mute button didn't work?
I think she was mad that I was funnier than her. That seems like the kind of thing she would get mad about. Maybe she was mad because she was fat, and all of her fat cells created more anger in her tiny woman brain. I don't know.
Wow, you're really ending the show on a high note.
Sorry. I'm about to choke to death on my own phlegm. I just need to make sure that I leave a legacy.
Your legacy is phlegm.
Captain Spam says, the Giftipult, great content vector or best content vector?
Pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. Thanks, Hot Stuff, for that idea.
Sure.
The Giftipult was Hot Stuff.
Sure
idea.
Thing.
Although he wanted it to be a... How did you want that to work?
I just wanted gift items to just
puzzle
show up in... I just wanted gift items to show up in the list of
in
combat
list
items.
In the list of combat items, okay.
Yeah. The Giftipult's kind of cool. I think... I had suggested that we enable it as some kind of way to fling combat or gift items to other players.
I still just don't know what that would mean.
Yeah, I don't either, to be honest. But
and so that's why I haven't like
I know
it's tried just, to implement it is because I don't know what that means. I mean, it's just a different way of sending them a K-mail.
Yeah, basically.
I mean,
because like a brick is just another way of sending someone a K-mail.
Yeah, sure. A different way of sending somebody an item attached to a K-mail that's limited to a particular subset of items.
Yeah.
And it's something that you couldn't type.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could just replace the text of the K-mail with thwong with a bunch of extra G's, and the whole word is red and has some asterisks around it.
Yeah.
That's the sound a giftable makes.
I see.
Thwong. Just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to stop doing a show?
Okay.
Sure.
Wait. First of all, MagicX0 says, is it safe to say that Elf Alley will still be there in future years? No.
I don't think it's safe to say that at all.
Yeah, it is definitely not safe to say that.
It's weird how your very first post in the forum thread about Krobo and Himbopolis was... This is going away December 24th. And then the number of people who are like, this better stick around all year or forever, or I'm going to be pissed. Like, when you specifically said, this is going away December 24th.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It does seem like a thing we could bring back annually, though, if we wanted to.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Anything is a thing. You know, we could just redo last year's Crimbo, right? But, yeah, I mean, I nobody would be true. Excited about that.
I mean, Uncle Hobo has places to be, things to do. This is just a temporary place for him to exist.
Yeah. All right, kids. I'm gonna stop showing.
Yeah, I will not potentially be on the radio week. Until January, I think.
Really?
Yeah, because...
I have to take this... No, my new laptop can broadcast now.
Oh, can it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
We had to set that up.
Did we? I don't...
No, I had to do it while I was in Milwaukee. I didn't go to Milwaukee. I was in Minnetonka.
Yeah, I am... Yeah, I will not be on the radio again until...
Well, fuck.
January.
It'll just be me and Riff next week, then. Riff, you ready?
I'm always ready.
It's going to be awesome. Your middle name is ready. You were born danger.
That's right.
All right. So, all right, so we'll talk to y'all.
Happy holidays, everybody, and I'll see you in January.
Goodbye.